with God. Everybody turned against me. Mm-hmm. My family, my friends, I was crazy. And once again, the Lord said, good. Now it's me and you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you some things. He says, I want you to compare. I want you to write a sermonette series comparing the Old Testament animal sacrifices, three of them, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the burnt offering. Compare those to the New Testament, John the Baptist coming on the scene with repentance, water baptism unto repentance, and Jesus with the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire, and fire. He says, I want you to compare the two. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, I'm going to show you. All right. The human body, we're made in the image of God. The animal sacrifices not only represent Jesus, but they also represent us. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what Jesus did, now when we believe in Jesus, what we're saying, even though we might not know it, is what he did for us so that we can do for him.
Okay.
You understand that?
Yes, okay.
Because we can't do for him unless he did for us.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have the power.
Okay.
I mean, that's what the Day of Pentecost is all about. The power.
Okay, yes.
All right. So he has developed this for me. And he's still developing it for me, and one of the main reasons is to take it to the Jews. Because the Old Testament, when you really get into it, it shows what was taking place with him when he was on the cross. And the Jews are very gifted when it comes to the human anatomy. That's why so many of them are doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very good doctors, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But anyway, all right, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? All right. Jesus did this in reverse of what we have to do it. All right? He came to earth in a sinless body, flesh and blood, for the sole purpose of doing what Adam didn't do, and then taking care of the problem that Adam brought about because of the sin that he did. All right, the human body is where sin resides. Okay? You got that, right?
Yes.
It doesn't reside anywhere else except in a human body.
Right.
All right.
Right.
All right. So, in order for Jesus to defeat sin, he had to take on a human body.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he took on a sinless human body. And he, you know, Adam and Eve started out with, it's like a blank CD or a blank DVD, whatever you want to go. You know, it's something that is capable of having memory, having something stored in it. And that's what the human body is. The human body is a marvelous thing that stores information. It stores spirits. It's a spiritual thing.
Okay.
And depending on what we do depends on what spirits become a part of us.
Okay.
You with me?
Okay, yeah.
All right. So, in the beginning, though, Adam and Eve were neutral. I mean, they were blank, so to speak.
Okay.
And every word of God that they obeyed, God, the Spirit, would become a part of them. See, this is the game of life. It's a very serious game.
Okay.
Who are you? What spirit are you of?
Okay.
And it only comes about by doing who, either serving God or serving Satan.
Okay.
You become a part of them when you do their will.
Okay.
You with me?
I'm with you.
All right.
I actually read that on your website.
All right. Ephesians 2.
Okay.
Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God. You know, that's a given. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation came through Jesus.
Right.
But why did he give us salvation? So that we could walk in obedience to God.
Okay.
Because we're born with sin.
Okay.
Sin is a yoke.
Okay.
I mean, you're yoked to the devil.
Right.
You can't get away.
Right.
Right? want you to walk with him, because the very next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in. All right. So, Jesus was born without sin for the sole purpose that he could walk in obedience totally and completely for his entire life and prepare his body to take on the sin of the world. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't go to the cross until he had been tested in all points.
Okay.
Because all points is everywhere in the human body that you can sin.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
I understand.
All right. And, you know, we're a great big network of nerves. And we have synapses. They're junctions where you can make another course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Adam and Eve picked that fruit, it was not natural. They had to actually create a new pathway in their bodies to make that happen. They had to teach themselves to do that.
Okay.
They had to think about it. They had to mentally go through the calisthenics of picking the fruit and eating it before they could do it.
Okay.
They taught themselves to sin.
Okay.
All right. But Jesus, you know, he taught himself total obedience in all points. And it was also, it was through suffering, you know. And then when he went to the cross, in all points, he had the Spirit of God in him, in his body.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 hours on the cross, when the Father, you know, turned away from him,
mm-hmm.
was when he took on the sin. He took it on in his body.
Mm-hmm.
But his body was prepared because he had walked in obedience his whole life.
Okay.
Every point in him that could sin was already prepared by the Holy Spirit to defeat the sin that he took on at the cross.
Okay.
And it's through the suffering that he went through in combination with his obedience and the Holy Spirit in him that that sin was defeated. And when he finally said it is finished, there wasn't a trace of sin left in his body.
Oh, his body defeated all that sin that went into him?
That's it. It chewed it up and spit it out. It's metabolism.
Where did you get this from God?
Yes.
That is awesome.
And that's why works are so important. But they have to be works of the Spirit, not works of the flesh.
Okay.
That's why when God says stop smoking, he's working on the part of you that is sin. And as you obey him and go through the sweat and the pain and the suffering of obeying his word, that you are actually destroying a sin in you, and you don't even know what it is. It might have nothing to do with cigarettes.
It could, okay.
It could be something to do with, you know, something else.
Okay.
You know, we don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do in us. All we know that is we obey him, we're going to become born again in some points of our life.
Okay, because you know why I was justifying it? Is because I was a smoker when he gave me Revelation 7, wait, 3:7, okay?
Right.
But we do have to grow, right? We do have to change, right? I mean, he probably just got to, this is probably just a point to where, hey, it's time to lay him down, right?
He's merciful, and he won't ask more than we can do, and he knows what we can handle at the time.
Okay.
So he doesn't lay anything on. I mean, he's gentle. You know, he'll strip us slowly. You know, I mean, he'll take you through one more hellacious ride, and then he'll give you a vacation for a couple of days.
Okay.
And then he'll saddle you up, and let's go again.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. You have enlightened me. You know, that is just wonderful. I wish more Christians would get this kind of teaching.
Well, we're trying, but people don't want to listen.
Oh, why?
Because it means that you got to suffer. It means you got to suffer through obedience.
Right.
People don't want to hear that. They won't name it and claim it, gab it and grab it.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they want the easy ride.
Yeah, that's true. Because when I was reading the Bible, I was like, you know, the gate is narrow. You know, I was trying to tell everybody, do you not understand that it's narrow? Not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody that says they are a Christian is going to heaven. You know, people don't believe that.
All right, so when we believe in Jesus, we believe in the process of the cross. And we believe that now that he has, his blood has, see, when we turn to Christ and say that, you know, how many people really understand what they're saying? But when you say you believe in what he did for you, that, you know, his blood has atoned you of your sins, you know, at that point in time when you say it, God the Father looks at you even as though you're sinless, even though you're not. You're still corrupt. I mean, you're just filthy.
Right.
But he looks at you as though you're sinless because of what Jesus has done so that you can do it.
Okay.
All right.
But he expects different things from different people, right?
You are a special person. Your body is totally different from anybody else. You have sins that, you know, it's a network. It's a tangled mess to try to untangle the sin nature in the human body.
Okay.
He is the only one that knows how to do it.
Okay.
And is he does it, but he can only do it step by step as he directs your path. And this is what I'm telling you about. Everything you do needs to be directed by him.
Okay.
Because he's untangling your sin nature.
Okay.
He's getting rid of it.
Okay.
But it's a delicate process because if you what is the some games that you play that if you pull the wrong thing out, that the whole thing will fall down, you know?
Jenga?
Huh?
I think it's called Jenga or...
All right, but it's a very meticulous process.
Uh-huh.
If it's not done right, you'll lose it.
Right.
You won't make it, and that's why these people who try to deliverance ministries, who try to go by a set of rules on how to do this, they can hurt people more than they can help them.
Okay.
It's got to be God's way.
Okay.
Everybody's different. He's the only one that knows how to work on you.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, he might let you hang on to smoking for a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that if he tries to get you to smoke it, you know, it's not going to work. It's just going to cause you distress and cause you to just fall away.
Mm-hmm.
But when he says it's time to quit, you need to quit.
Okay.
And he said that. So it's time to quit.
He said it's time to quit.
All right, but he looks at us as though we're sinless. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. See, in the Old Testament, before the blood was applied, they couldn't go through renewing of the mind. The mind is every cell in the body. All right. Before the process is through, when Paul said, you know, I've run a good race, I finished the course,
mm-hmm.
he meant it. And what he meant was that he has allowed the Holy Spirit to come in him and take control of every cell in his body.
Okay.
Can you understand that?
Yes.
Every cell in his body.
Yes.
The basic human body, the lowest, the smallest human body that you can call a living soul is a cell.
Okay.
It is body, soul, and spirit. Every cell is a body, soul, and spirit, which makes up the whole body, soul, and spirit.
Okay.
All right.
And some of them are still, I mean, because I have a lot of the...
Yeah, some of them are very corrupt.
Okay.
All right, and God has to deal with them.
Okay.
And the way he deals with them is through obedience and suffering.
Okay.
The obedience is going to bring you to... That's what the fire is all about.
Mm-hmm.
When the fire, you know, the tongues of fire came on their heads on the day of Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody thinks it's such a great thing that, you know, it's power. You know, you're going to, you know, you get the adrenaline rush and you're going to do great and mighty things. But that fire is burning up the sacrifice in your head.
Okay.
We're the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire is meant to burn it up. You know, John the Baptist came with, you know, baptism under repentance in water. But Jesus came with the fire.
Mm-hmm.
The water only just washes. The fire takes care of the problem.
Okay.
I could go into this, but it's awesome when you really get into it.
It makes you understand. It makes you want to do it even more. You know, if he comes back before the process is over, we're covered, right?
You're covered as long as you're walking in that process.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to be. You know, that's what Left Behind's all about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what the other six churches are about.
Okay, then the promise that he made me, I will keep, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation.
Or that's right. But what?
Saying he's taken back that promise.
No, but what else goes with it?
Him that overcometh.
What's the one that you asked me? Don't let man...
That no man take thy crown.
Okay, all right. That's a possibility. You can lose what you had.
And that would be denying him, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we can go back into the same sin that we've already gotten rid of. You know, there's a lot of things. You know, I had to go to jail. I feared the heck. You know, have you read Job?
Uh huh.
Okay. The one very powerful statement that you can hang on to. Job said, "That which I fear the most has come upon me."
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, the place that we have to get to in order to be fully committed to Christ is that we fear nothing. And the only way that we can fear nothing is those things that we fear, we have to go through them.
Right.
But they have to be directed by God.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in His time, in His power, under His direction. All right, the first thing that Job lost was his riches, right?
Yeah, his riches.
His riches. The second thing he lost was his family. And the third thing he lost was his health.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the three things that, you know, we all try to possess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he stayed steady with God.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't curse God. He hung in. He suffered through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came out on the other side, he didn't fear those things anymore.
Right.
He was renewed in Christ. He was now a loyal, faithful servant of God. He had nothing. The flesh is what pulls us into this fear. Why don't you quit smoking? It's easy, because you fear what you're going to go through. You fear the suffering. You fear the withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's all fear. It's all fear-based. And see, that's got to die.
Okay.
And it will die as you just set your face like a flint and don't receive anything that comes against you to get you to try to pick up another cigarette.
Okay.
But
do you think Nicorette gum or anything like that?
Ask the Lord.
Okay.
Ask the Lord how He wants you to do it.
Okay.
Let Him be the one.
Because that thought did come to my mind. Trust me, every time I smoke a cigarette, I tell God, yes, I know this is wrong. I ask for forgiveness, because, and I tell Him that I'm not ready. You know, that I don't feel that I'm ready, but I feel that He wants me to. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
But I don't deny it. I don't lie to Him. You know, I tell Him, I know. But then the thought came in my head, you know, maybe my doctor can prescribe me something, like a pill, you know? Because I've been smoking since I was 13 years old. But do you think
how old are you now?
Feel the pain?
How many years has that been?
I'm 33.
Okay. So that's 20 years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just ask the Lord. Okay, I'll come in agreement with you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just come to you again, Lord. We just thank you so much for, Lord, the telephone and this communication link, and Lord, just we just praise you for your presence, and Lord, we sincerely desire your word, and even though the flesh will come at us in a very intimidating way, Father God, we know that we're able through you to do exactly what you say, Father God. So Lord, concerning these cigarettes, Lord, is it your will that there'll be some crutch to help in the process? Or, Lord, is it you and you only? Lord, show us the way, and that Sister Lisa might firmly be solely in your will, Father God. Let it be all of you and none of her. And we give you the glory, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Anything?
I think so.
Must be. I get. Yes, that's what I got. How's that?
Okay.
I mean, he didn't give it to me in the beginning, but he did confirm what you said.
Okay.
You know, give God the glory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only way you can do it.
Okay. You know, I've done a lot harder things.
Yeah, I know it. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines.
Okay.
It's amazing.
You're right.
I mean, the harder things, you seem to just be more determined that, you know, you see the big obstacle and you know you gotta, you know, you're gonna have to hit it head on.
Uh-huh.
It's the little things that Satan dilly-dallies around with you and you don't take it serious enough.
I know. Okay.
Let me hit you with this real quick. The seven spirits of God, Isaiah chapter 11.
Okay.
All right, this is the brunt of how it works.
Okay.
And then, you know, if you feel that anything I ever tell you is not of God, please speak it back to me. You know,
okay.
Give me whatever the Lord, you feel the Lord has given you.
Okay.
Because I don't want to, you know, teach anybody error.
Okay.
If I have error in me and what I say, I want it to be corrected.
Okay.
I want to get it right with the Lord. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about the seven spirits of God.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation, you read about the seven eyes of God.
Yeah, I was just reading that today.
All right, but this is all, it's all the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but it works in seven different levels. All right.
Okay.
When you come to Christ and begin this walk, this cleanup walk, as he gets rid of the filth that's in us, when you accept what Jesus did on the cross, his blood, that opens up the door for the Holy Spirit to come in you, to indwell you, and go into the darkest areas of your sinful soul, and root out and tear down and rebuild. It is like, you know, you have a church of Satan on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hideous building that's serving that beast. But yet, God can take that building, tear it down, use the same building materials that was used to build it, and build a house of God,
mm-hmm.
which is pleasing to God,
yeah.
which gives him glory. It's the same way with us and our human body.
Okay.
You know, we've trashed it up.
Yeah.
But God takes the same material, the carbohydrates, the lipids, I can't think of them right now, but anyway, takes the basic building material that is used to build a cell. He will tear it down. You know, the design of the building is spiritual.
Okay.
The design of the cell is spiritual.
Okay.
So he'll tear it apart and rebuild it in his design. Same components. All right, and the process is, you know, once again, when you look at what Jesus did on the cross and believe in it, that starts the process, all right? The Spirit of the Lord is number one. That's the first Spirit of God.
Okay.
And that's when God looks at you, he knows who you are, and he knows what you need to get rid of the problem. He's looking at the individual sin natures. He's looking at this network of sin, and he's got a word that's going to start the process.
Okay.
All right, that's the Spirit of the Lord. He sends it down. You receive this as a spirit of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word.
Okay.
It's a word, it's a vision, it's a thought, it's whatever.
Okay.
You know, it's an unction.
Okay.
All right. Then you have to take that one step further.
Okay.
What is it? What are you trying to say, Lord? Are you really seeking him? Do you really want to know what he wants of your life? Do you really want to go through this process of being changed and your mind renewed in Christ? He will give you that next one, which is the spirit of understanding.
Okay.
All right, then you know what you got to do. All right, quit smoking. All right, now, this is where it gets rough. All right, now you know what he wants you to do, and your flesh goes crazy.
Right.
All right. The very next one is what they didn't have in the Old Testament. This is where the Spirit of God actually enters into the sinful nature of mankind. You know, the veil was rent, right?
Yeah.
In the beginning, there had to be a separation because of the blood hadn't been applied.
Okay.
But now that the blood has been applied, the veil has been rent, the Holy Spirit can now come in contact with our central self.
Okay.
All right. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. We got it.
Okay.
All right. And that one is the Spirit of Counsel, the Comforter.
Okay.
All right. That's the fourth one. Because once we know what we got to do, we go berserk because of our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to call on Him, I need your help.
Okay.
And, you know, what we just did a while ago was basically putting the Spirit of Counsel to work. We prayed and asked, Lord, do you really want Sister Lisa to stop smoking? And also, you know, do you want her to do it with a crutch or without?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is using the comforter, the counselor, to give you, you know, encouragement.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And the very next one is... the fifth one is the Spirit of Might, the Spirit of Strength.
Okay.
Because you can't do it what He wants you to do on your own.
Right.
You're going to have to lean on Him.
Okay.
All right? And then the very next one is the Spirit of Knowledge. Because we're going to come to know Jesus and His, just a tiny bit of what He went through on the cross as we suffer in obedience to the word He's given us. We're going to die.
Okay.
Our flesh is going to die.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Uh-huh.
All right, and the very next one is the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord. Because once we have allowed Him to come in us through our obedience to His Word, and we suffer through it, we are going to die to that flesh that has continued to keep us from obeying God's Word, and we're going to be reborn in His Spirit, which no longer fears that flesh. That flesh is gone.
Okay.
We now only fear God.
And is that after He's gotten everything out of us?
Well, this is a step-by-step process.
Okay.
He works on it level by level.
Okay.
It is, you know, and you know, the higher you go, the deeper He gets and the more horrendous, you know, the tougher it is. It's like pulling a baby tooth and then going to pulling a wisdom tooth.
Yeah.
You know, the baby tooth is easy to pull out. The wisdom tooth, you know, dynamite to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the way He works in us. He takes it level by level, and, you know, he has to start easy.
Because honestly, just the cigarettes is like the last stronghold.
Okay.
You know? Do you believe in medication, like prescribed medication?
I believe in medication if God tells me to take medication.
Okay. Okay, which I'm weaning myself off of because I felt He told me to wean myself off of. And I'm doing fine with that, you know. I'm doing okay with that. It's just the cigarettes. It's just the hardest one.
See,
now, as far as sex, no more. Quit that.
Amen.
That's out of my life.
No, that's horrendous.
Yeah, so I try not to beat myself up because, you know, from the life that I've lived to, you know, even cut out caffeine because I felt like He really doesn't want that in me either. It's just the cigarettes.
Well, you've done good, and, you know, you don't want to stop.
No, I don't.
Because, you know, once you stop obeying God in anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
anything that He is, you start backsliding.
Right.
It's just a given.
Right.
You know, when He has appointed you to get rid of a certain sin, and you don't get rid of it, that sin's going to grow. And it's going to start consuming you like a cancer.
Okay. I believe that.
And it doesn't matter what you've done. And you know, that goes back to Ezekiel chapter 3 about if a righteous man turns from his righteous ways, you know, it's a downhill slide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ugly.
I just have one question. Now, Kathy, the story about Kathy.
Yeah.
So she doesn't follow Christ at all. Is that why she's the Lord has done with her? Is that why?
Well, she's did you read the one about obedience is better than death?
Yes.
That one just overwhelmed me. I mean, yeah, I was in shock because it was so quick and it was like, you know, I just knew that she was going to make it. I knew this Kathy. Her name was Kathy, too.
Uh-huh.
I knew she was going to make it. I mean, you didn't read all the emails, but what you read should have convinced you that this woman was speaking to God. I mean, she was having conversations with God.
Is she the one with the church?
Yeah.
Okay, but you gave her a direct word.
I gave her...
That church, right?
To leave that church.
She disobeyed.
Well, but she said she was going to obey. You know, she was, you know, right up to the very last minute, she was going to be there on that 8 o'clock phone call, and she was not going to go to church so she could speak, you know, do what God wanted her to do and have that conversation.
Uh-huh.
And when I made that call and she wasn't there, I just had this. I mean, it was sinking in my stomach that was nauseating.
Okay.
And I just said, no, this can't be, because I just knew she was going to make it. And I said, you know, it had to be an emergency. You know, she passed out because she was fasting. They had to take her to the hospital. But no, you know, she did it one more time. She folded her arms and looked at God and said, no, I'm not going to do it. And that was it. That was the last time.
Even though she knew he was preaching, like, not the truth, even though she knew, did she know that what he was preaching was wrong?
Yeah. She even said in the emails that, you know, that Belvedere, the Bible study that we're having, Word Faith, she knew it was wrong.
Oh.
She talked about, you know, people say he's a heretical teacher.
Okay.
But, you know, she knew it. I mean, she knew it. All she had to do was take it to the point of believing it.
Okay.
But, you know, it stymied me that, you know, Kathy, this thing went on with 3 years for her, with her.
Kathy
Ketico.
Yeah, with you wanting to move.
It was long and drawn out, you know. It was an ongoing thing. But this other one, her name was Kathy Kuntz.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was just boom, and it was over. You know, we don't know. We don't know how much longer God's going to give us when we are in sin and in rebellion. Where we're not doing what he wants. And you know, she spoke to me through those emails and all. I mean, she was telling me what God was telling her, and it was obvious.
Uh-huh.
He was warning her time and time again, telling her about the ninth of all, you know, how, you know, rebellion is it just brings continued heartache. From, you know, from repercussions from God.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but Kathy Ketico, it was just, you know, I had been around her for so long. You know, that went way back into my college days. And I saw how she was. You know, she, a molested person just begs for more molestation.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, and that's the way she was. And then back in those days, I was doing drugs and alcohol myself, and you know, we would get really ripped. And at times, she would proposition me, and I remember it very well. Hold on just a minute.
I just would hate that.
Yeah, but you know, not so much from the you know, we don't want to go to hell, that's
no.
for sure. But then again, you know, what Jesus did on the cross, we wasted it.
We wasted it.
If we lose it, if we lose our salvation, we wasted what he did on the cross.
Right.
But no, I mean, you know, you got in contact. We're here to help you not fail.
Okay.
We know, you know, I mean, the things that I have experienced that the Lord has taken me through, and only because I was obedient, mm-hmm. has prepared me to help people like you, who are very special, who are very gifted, and who God has big plans for. But likewise, you know, the devil has some pretty heavy artillery aimed at you.
Okay.
You know, you can't afford to miss a beat. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't afford to miss a step. You got to focus on that. You can't make excuses.
Okay.
And that's why he put us together. I'm here to help you understand that.
Okay.
You can't play games.
Okay.
Not even the smallest game.
Okay.
And you know, Eve, and the thing with the church, just make sure, you know, this is when you go, it's what God wants. And you, as you go into it now, be very sensitive to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a prophet, and he'll have you speak correction or whatever.
Oh, he already has.
All right, but we go to church because he's got us there to straighten up the church.
Okay. See, that's what I felt like what you just told me, I felt like that's what he was telling me.
Okay. Well, that's your job.
Okay. And it's, you know, I had tried correcting the ladies ministry. She was having Beth Moore.
Oh, my goodness.
Teachings in there. And, you know, I'm new at this, but I had read on your website, and I believed it. You know, I believed it.
Beth Moore, the little old, Long Locks.
And I tried telling her, you know, I was like, please check this out. And I think she got really offended. And then I even thought about going to the pastor and telling the pastor that they're doing that in the women's ministry. But, you know, do you think I should? Because I asked them, I said, what are y'all doing in the women's ministry? Oh, we're doing more of Beth Moore's teaching tapes. And it just kind of made me, I was like, oh, no.
Well, do you feel that the Lord was directing you to do that?
What I said to her?
No, talk to the minister.
The thought came to my mind. I felt like him being the pastor, he should guard his flock. And I don't think, from what I've read and from what the Lord has confirmed in me, that they should not be listening to her.
Well, I'll confirm it, but just, you know, ask the Lord when he would have you to do it. But, yeah, you've done the first step, and...
By telling her?
Yeah, you've gone to her, she didn't correct it, so now the one who's responsible, you know, over the whole flock should... You're going to find out, you know. You're going to find out who he really is.
Okay. So just tell him about more and that...
Well, let the Lord lead you, but, you know, I'm confirming that the thought you had of going to the pastor was from God.
It was from God?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, I had never heard of the woman. If I had, you know, it didn't stick. I'd never seen her on TV or anything. You know, I was not really, I was not connected up to her. And when that pastor sent me that little, cute little story, it really grabbed me. I mean, it was so, you know, it was something that you really want to share with people. It was, had a lot of emotion in it. But I had this check. I knew something wasn't right.
Uh-huh.
I just knew it. I didn't know what it was. I just knew something wasn't right. So I prayed. And the Lord sent me on the website and on the internet and started searching out Beth Moore.
Uh-huh.
And that's when it all came in. I mean, wow.
amazing. It's very easy how stuff like that can creep in. But that's what led me to your website, was I prayed to the Lord to not let me be deceived, to not let me, to please guard my mind and guard my ears from any false doctrines or teachings or anything like that, because I definitely wanted, because all the things that Paul and all of them warn you about, I didn't want to fall into that deception, you know, because I have been deceived so much. But I didn't want any more of it, and then he led me to your website, and glory to God, he did that. You know,
thank you, Jesus.
You know, always check your website and see what you say, and especially with the Catholic Church, I'm trying to reach, you know, any Catholics, especially my mom, and try to be gentle with her about it, because that's a whole other issue right there. But he keeps leading me to Jonah, so I don't know if that's what he wants me to do, is to leave my parents, leave my family, or leave the church. I don't know. I'm just going to keep praying about it. Keep praying about it.
All right, but, you know, we're here for you. It's, right now, it's only me and Brother Allen. He's in a wheelchair. He's a paraplegic.
Okay.
And that's what it took to save his life. God knocked his legs out from under him to save him.
Really?
And but he is a powerful part of the ministry now. You know, there's very few. I just can't say that enough. That you just can't find them who are willing to just be corrected when they've gotten off course, and they're willing to just, you know, make that course correction. He's it. When he came here, he moved over here in April the 19th, 2004. He was a basket case. I mean, he had been through depression.
Mm-hmm.
He was like he didn't even have a brain.
Really?
I mean, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't make a list. He couldn't. I mean, he was just a zombie.
So what made him come there?
God.
So how do you know if God's calling you there?
Well, God kept telling him to come, and it's, you know, you'll read about him throughout as the Lord directs you to read these sermon notes, but our connection was Jimmy Swaggart.
Okay.
And I met him at one of the first camp meetings that God told me to attend, and believe it or not, but it was through my ex-wife. She was very gifted, but she used her gifts for Satan. But, you know, God could use her at times, and he did. And she was very charismatic. I mean, she could talk to anybody, and she could get anything she wanted from even a perfect stranger. She had the gift of gab.
Uh-huh.
And she was the one that went over and talked to Alan. I was the exact opposite. You know, I'm a recluse. I'm very shy.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and but she went and talked to him, and then we met, and then from that point on, the Lord had me to pick him up in Houston every time that I made my journey to camp meeting in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it all began. And if I wouldn't have had God, you know, I wouldn't have had the best member that we got of this ministry right now, the strongest member. Anyway, we're here in our apartment in El Paso, and great and mighty things are coming.
Uh-huh. I believe it. I believe the Lord is raising up an army.
But yes. But,
yes.
You know, you have to go through hundreds of them before you get to one that's going to stick.
Right.
I mean, hundreds.
Mm-hmm. I believe that, because when you said many are called, few are chosen, that just sticks out my mind, that even before you said it, you know, that's what I kept saying. Many are called, few are chosen, you know. The gate is very narrow.
Very narrow.
So.
And what is it that we love more than God? You know, I mean.
What is it that we love more than Him?
Yeah, and you'll find out, you know. Every step that you take during the day, you know, God will show you. Believe me, I mean, I still struggle daily with some of the things to hear it.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Yeah.
I struggle with that.
Okay.
And it's dangerous. You know, I mean, that's your salvation, really.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't work out the sin's going to overcome you and you're going to lose it. You can lose your salvation. It's not because the blood isn't sufficient. It's because you're not willing to go.
Okay.
And oh, I could tell you about a lot of things, but
I know you believe in the outpouring. Okay, in the last days, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Okay, on all flesh.
The latter rain, right?
Okay. Do you believe that's when a lot of people are going to be saved? I mean, because right now, it seems like there's so few that are really, really saved or really walking in obedience. Do you agree?
Let me put it to you this way. The Holy Spirit, the power that we receive from Him in this latter rain is going to be a powerful move of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
All right. But God fights fair. So Satan will be allowed an equal amount of power to come against him. You don't get something for nothing.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Evil becomes more evil.
See, because I thought evil has always been just a little bit, I know it's not stronger than God, but for some reason it seems like it's more abundant. You know what I'm saying? And I just figured that he would just, one last time, he would just put in, you know, so much of his spirit. Just, you know what I'm saying? That's how I felt. That's how I felt about it.
No, it's going to be a move, you know, of the spirit that's, you know, a little bit like Azusa Street and, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit there. But there will be equal opposition to it. Yes, it's got to be fair. I mean, God plays on a fair playing field against Satan, and I had something and I lost it. What is it, Lord? Bring it back. I don't remember, but it. Yeah, I know what it was. The government. All right. Abortion.
Yeah.
Plain and simple is the government offering sacrifices of children to Satan. Plain and simple.
You think that's what it is?
That's all it is. It's the government offering blood sacrifices of innocent babies to Satan. Plain and simple.
They willingly know this.
You know, the tsunami that wiped out, you know, the Indian Ocean, that wiped out, what was back in December of 2000 and, what was it, 2000 and, 2004? You remember that big tsunami?
Where was that? I think I know what you're talking about.
It was, I believe it was in the Indian Ocean, and it really wiped out it took out a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
But the minute that happened, at the time I was living with a Messianic Jew.
Uh-huh.
Very gifted, who's since fallen away. But anyway, and God showed him a man, men under the ocean planting devices.
Planting devices,
as in bombs.
Uh-huh. All right. Oh, to cause that?
To cause it. When I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, is this true? Is this, would you verify this? And he said, yes. And he said, Bush was behind it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
All right, this is power. Power corrupts.
Do you think that we will ever gain America back?
No.
It's lost.
It's lost. God has already shown me. I mean, it's no use in even voting because it's already set in place.
Okay, so...
All we can do is save souls.
So what do you think the next step is? I mean, for us as Christians, or you, like, what do we do?
Well, we're to go in and give the church one last chance. You know, this is what you're to do with the pastor, going and tell him that they're preaching ungodly stuff through Beth Moore's teachings.
Okay.
You're to give him that word.
Okay.
And if he's got any God in him, he's going to pray about it.
Okay.
And he's going to seek God because he's really concerned about his flock.
Okay.
And if he's one of these laid-back preachers that's in it for the money, you know, a hireling, he's going to just blow you off.
Okay. Hey, on your website, it listed some good Bible churches, or, you know, it listed some churches, like in your area. Are you familiar with that part of your website?
It doesn't come to mind. What?
Well, there's like you can click on one of these little things, and then it says,
That was one of the links?
Yeah, one of the links.
Okay.
And it lists some good churches or whatever, and it had listed one in Garland, you know, that I guess it's close to my house. But it didn't list my church, I know that.
Well, pray about it, you know, I mean, was that God to you? Was that an unction? I don't know what you're talking about, but, you know, you saw this.
Okay.
All right, pray about it. Ask the Lord if he would have you to go there, because, you know, when you give this word to the preacher, this might be the last word that you give.
Okay.
And God might say, move.
Okay. Okay. So I can just email you or whatever?
Listen, the phone number is right there on the website. It's 915-751-6789.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
All right, okay. It's right underneath the sun and the plan.
Okay.
But, you know, we're on the computer a lot. You don't have Messenger, do you?
No.
All right, well.
I don't think so. What is that?
MSN, Hotmail, you know the...
Yeah, I have Hotmail.
All right, but you can get MSN Messenger, which is, if you're on the computer, it'll automatically let you know somebody's trying to get in contact with you.
Oh, I don't know if I have that or not. Do you?
Yeah, we got it. And,
I always check it. I check it all day long.
Okay. But, you know, we're here for you. And,
okay.
And you know, you're very important.
Okay.
And the battle's going to get tough. And we're here to pray with you, for you, help you to hear, you know, God's voice. Because, you know, at times it's impossible almost to hear.
See, that's how I feel. That sometimes it's impossible.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when I was at the breaking point, it was either I was going to make it through. You know, I equate it to the sound barrier. When Chuck Yeager got in a chit to break the sound barrier for the first time, he didn't know what was going to happen. You know, they had theories that, you know, that the plane would make it. But then again, there was concern that the plane could just go into vibrant, you know, shaking and just destroy itself.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got in that plane and he pushed it to that speed that would break the sound barrier, mm-hmm. it really started just vibrating uncontrollably. So he had to make up his mind whether he would push on through
uh-huh.
or stop. And he pushed on through, and the minute that he went through that speed, it was like sailing on glass. It just, all the vibration stopped, and it was just smooth as it could be.
Okay.
And that's the way it is with us.
Okay.
You know, you're going to think you can't make it one more second.
Okay.